Greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abstinence is a very familiar topic to all of us. I believe it is one of the most familiar topics in your life and in my life. In Singapore, I think many of us practice all kinds of abstinence. For those who believe that eating meat will ruin their chance of going to heaven, so they will practice eating only vegetables. So they will abstain from all meat. For some of us who are allergic to seafood, you abstain from all sorts of seafood because you do not want to aggravate your health and your condition. For some of us who have problem with cholesterol, we will try to abstain from fatty food. We'll try, but very often we don't succeed. But we practice abstinence to a certain degree anyway. So I believe all of us practice some levels of abstinence in various degrees. In the case of our children, as parents, we have to teach them what to eat, what not to eat. And so when parents bring up their children, they practice abstinence. No sweet liquid, no coke, no sugary stuff, perhaps until they're old enough. So give them plain water, maybe once in a while, mix it with a little bit of juice. And so abstinence is practiced upon us by our parents when we are young, when we do not know better. So abstinence is not an unfamiliar topic. We all practice it in one way or another. And so this morning, when we look at biblical abstinence, the first thing we have to bear in mind is that you must know how to evaluate. And so this verse in verse 21, prove all things, will have to come back into our consideration. You have to test all things. But how to test and make sure that this should be abstained from, and this one I should hold on. You see, the word hold fast and the word abstinence, they are opposites. In the case of hold fast, you just don't let go. In the case of abstinence, you hold off. You don't let it come near you. So they are opposites. So when you prove all things, you're going to realize that something's going to be good, something's going to be bad. The things that are good, I'm going to hold on to them and I'm not going to let go no matter what. That which is bad, I'm going to push it as far away as possible. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold it off so that it will never come near me or be attached to me. So you have two opposites behavior. So prove all things. For example, is coming to church good or bad? Prove. What kind of church? If it is a church that honors God and I'm a Christian, the Bible says I should be found in God's house, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And so we come. And then for children, as parents, we have to decide for them. And so it is good for my children to come to church and send them to Sunday school so that they may be instructed in God's word. And that is good. And I'm going to hold fast to that. I'm not going to let anything take that away from me. And so when the Lord's Day comes, my family and myself must be found in God's house, come what may. No tuition, no sport activities, nothing must take that away from me and my family. Hold fast. That's what it means. No job, no enticement from the world must ever take that away from me. That's what I mean by hold fast. Ask yourself another question. Is coming for sunset gospel hour good or bad? If it is bad, hold off. Don't let it come near you. If it is good, hold fast to it. Don't let go. Come what may, no activity should take me away from attending sunset gospel hour. What do I learn? What do I get from it? Close and end the Lord's day in the Lord's house with God's people. Is it good for me? Is it good for my children? You hold fast to it. Don't let go. Don't let any dinner, don't let any other party, whatever it is, to take that away from you. That's what it means by testing, evaluating, holding on, holding off. That's what it means. Midweek prayer meeting. Because we are now talking about biblical abstinence. That which is good for my soul. These are instructions not given to us. Follow them and you become Christians. These are instructions given to us because we are Christians. We are children of light. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon to take me home, to be with Him. And I understand this. I look forward to this. And therefore, this is how I'm supposed to be watchful, to be sober, and these are the things that I must do. And so when I test and prove all things, I have to do it continuously, because as I mature, as I grow, the different areas of my life will vary and change. And because they vary and change, I have to keep on testing all the days of my life. As I mature, as I grow, some things that used to bother me, now it doesn't. I mean, last time when you were younger, young people used to be enticed by playing tennis or golf on Sunday. Now you are 60s, your body aches here, body aches there. You can't even carry a tennis racket without your wrist getting hurt. So now that problem is something of the past. It doesn't bother you anymore now that you are 60. But there may be other things that you have to prove now that you are 60 that you may not have to struggle with when you were 16. That's why the word proof there is all the days of your life you never stop. Now, what do you and I do when things that are evil? That is what verse 22 is all about. Things that are good, you hold on. Just as hold fast is the opposite of hold off, good is the opposite of evil, isn't it? You look at verse 21, 22. Good, evil, hold fast, hold off. And this is to all believers. Not an option. You keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it. So what do you do with evil? How do you hold off? Abstain. Now, one difference between the hold fast and the hold off or abstain is this. In the case of abstain, there is an additional emphasis, and that is the word yourself. Hold oneself off. That means my mom can't do it for me, my dad can't do it for me, my wife can't do it for me, I have to do it myself. Now when the children are young, of course you have to hold their hands, you have to do it for them. But when they grow up, they will learn and they must learn to do it themselves. And they grow up very fast, because when they go to school, they have to already learn how to hold off. Bad language you're going to pick up from young boys, young girls. Bad behavior, how to tell lies, how to cheat, how to bully. They're going to learn all this in primary school. I heard that when my children were very young, long time ago, 20 years ago. Primary school children, when they take school buses, there are gangs inside the primary school buses, some of them. Whereby even the drivers are afraid of them, because these boy gangs are linked to the adult gangs. And so they threaten the bus driver, they threaten the uncles and the aunties who are supposed to keep them in line. They're this kind of behaviors. So you have to teach your children to hold off before you let them loose. And one day you have to let them loose. And that's why it's so important for parents to know how to practice the right kind of abstinence. Because if you don't, you live a life of liberty. Anything goes, it does not matter. We can hold on to anything as long as your heart desires, you just hold on. There is no right, there is no wrong, there are no absolutes. Everything is relative. You feel like it, you hold on. You don't feel like it, you just hold off. In this country, you want to hold on, you hold on. In this other country, same issue. Well, you want to hold off, you hold off. There is no right, there is no wrong. Well, in this country, it's okay to drink, I drink. Well, in this country, they don't allow drinking, I don't drink. And there are some countries, no drinking, no public drinking. Well, you don't drink, don't drink. No conviction. If you behave in this manner and call yourself a Christian, and you pass this on to your children, you know exactly how your child will end up. He's going to be a man or a girl with no conviction. you're going to ruin and wreck his life because he will be a man pleaser all the days of his life. Because to practice holding off is not going to be something that you like. Because it's going to offend. You have to be prepared to offend. If I prepared a meal, I spent many months, go to the internet, don't know how to cook, learn how to cook. I want to cook for you the best siu yok, you know, roast pork. So I buy what kind of shape, how to make sure that the skin is crispy and crunchy, how to make sure that it is very savory and tasty. And so I study from the internet, and then I buy the pork and try it once, try it 10 times, and then now I think I perfected it, and so you are coming in 2 days' time, and so I took the trouble and prepared everything, and I put it in front of you, and then what do you tell me? Oh, I'm a vegetarian. So you abstain. Now how do you think I feel? I spent 2 months, tried 10 times, and then I laid it in front of you. I'm a vegetarian. Please eat. I can't. Why not? Just one small piece, just taste. I can't. Why not? Conviction. Hold off. Holding on to the conviction. I must never eat meat. Till death will never budge. You talk to some vegetarian, no budging means no budging. And they are very clear. The lines are very clear. They will offend. You want to practice abstinence, biblical abstinence, you will offend. You cannot help yourself but offend. Are you prepared? When you test and prove, when you hold fast, you will have to fight off a lot of temptations, a lot of seductions, a lot of threats and persecution. You hold on, you will still offend. But abstinence will offend more people than holding fast, because you can't separate the two. You hold on to good. On the other hand, you cannot hold on to evil. You have to let go. You cannot hold on to both, because they are contradictory. You have to hold on to that which is good for your soul, spiritually speaking, that will help you to become more and more like Christ. And then anything that will jeopardize this, you have to hold them off. Don't let them come near you. And when you do that, you're going to offend. Now please don't ever think and rationalize, well, if I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, yes, if you have, then you are born again, your place is secure in heaven. Yes, you are right, your place is secured in heaven. No one can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You are right. But there is another aspect of your life which is exactly what this passage is dealing with. Your spiritual life cannot be seen. Your assurance from God's word, your promise in heaven, cannot be seen. If God wants to save you and discard the other aspect of your life and only hold on to your spiritual life, He would have taken you home straight away. But He allowed you to remain. He has given you health and strength to remain on this earth after you are born again. Because there is another aspect of your life and my life that is very visible to the world, and that is the life that the Bible is emphasizing right now. Where you can rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And these events, pray without ceasing, you don't do it in heaven. It's only done on earth. You know that because you don't pray in heaven, because you have no problems in heaven. You have no petitions in heaven. And so the Bible is talking about the life that is called the physical life, your testimony. And that life is not to be lived shoddily. You cannot think that, well, my spiritual life is good, God knows, and therefore my physical life, it does not matter. It matters to God. If it does not matter, then these verses are redundant. It matters a whole lot how people see you. Because you are going to be the bearer of Christ everywhere you go. As a parent, your children will look at you. Your grandchildren are going to look at you, and you're going to be the bearer of Christ to them. Your behavior, your conduct matters a whole lot to them. They're going to look at you. You live in sin, and you come to church and you pretend to sing. What do you think your children are going to see in you? They're going to see hypocrisy. And when they grow up, they're going to think that Christianity is one big, gigantic hypocrisy. just pretend on Sunday, and then on the rest of the day, I just pretend. No more. I just be myself Monday to Saturday, and then I pretend on Sunday. Because when you do not abstain and hold off, you're going to live a life of great compromise. Because in this world is filled with sin. If this world is not full of sin and wickedness and evil, Jesus will not need to come. We have been transformed from sinners to saints. You and I know what it was like when we were sinners. When we were sinners, we held on to all that which was evil and wrong and wicked and immoral and unethical. As long as I benefit, I tell lies. As long as I benefit, I will betray. That is what we held on to. And you think the world has changed? The world has not changed. The world continues to be like this. You know that. But now that you have changed in Christ Jesus, you are different now. And because you are different, that was once upon a time tasteless to you, now is the most delicious thing in your life, and that is worship, prayer, reading of God's word, Christian fellowship, all things spiritual, now they become everything to you. And so you will hold on to them. You will not allow anyone or anything in your life to take that away from you. But you know something? You can take all these things away from yourself when you do not abstain. Abstain will cost you. And the Bible tells us it's not abstain from evil. See, sometimes evil may be called lesser evil because the impact may be not so great. You know, lust of the flesh is so different from actual committing adultery, right? You are right. Lesser evil, I just lust. Nobody gets hurt. I just do it in my mind. I just do it in my heart. And I just go to the internet. I watch for pornography. I don't do the act. That's lesser evil. You may rationalize. And then the greater evil will be the actual act. It's, oh, those I won't do, or those I will abstain. And then there is another aspect that is called the motions, the first motions of evil. This is not what it says. All appearance, all semblance. The moment the first motions of evil have already begun in our hearts, it's already sin. It's already wrong. It's already a sin. And then you continue to entertain it. You continue to toy with it in your mind, in your heart. Then it will be the lesser sin. And then it will lead to the great sin, which will be the actual act itself. That is not what this verse is saying. This verse is teaching us, as long as it has the semblance, you abstain. Don't even arrive to the first motions of evil. You abstain. It will offend, dear friends. You can't help it. It is something that you must bear in mind. Hold on to that which is good, and don't become your own worst enemy by not abstaining from all appearance of evil. Appearance of evil is very real. When you abstain, you will offend. And the appearance of evil can be very subtle. Very, very sudden. Sometimes you may not feel that it is evil, and so therefore you do it. You know, in premarital counseling, one of the scariest and most frightening things is when the couple tells you, we are going on a holiday. Don't like to hear those kind of words, because the next question that you need to ask is not going to be very nice. Will you be accompanied by your parents? And if they say no, then if it's just the two of them, you're going to tell them you can't. You have to tell them that you can, you have to call it off. But we have to pay the deposit. Forget about your deposit. Because your testimony in Christ, your testimony, your physical life, your bearer of Christ is more important than whatever amount of money that you have put on. You cannot put a price tag on the name of Christ. You cannot afford to do that. You are a Christian. People are not going to read the Bible because they are unbelievers. They are non-believers. They will never come near the Bible, just as we never come near the Bible when we were unbelievers. So they're going to look at your life. And that's why Jesus says your life is supposed to be a light in the world to tell people how to know Christ. By the way that you live, by the things that you speak, by the way that you dress, by the way that you do your hair, by the way that you go to this place and do not go to that place. By the things that you drink, But the food that you eat, all these things are supposed to show them this is Christ. You are supposed to tell the world, look at me. I am a Christian by my life. See Christ in me. That's what you are to show to the whole world. Do you know that? And therefore you cannot allow yourself to be your worst enemy. Because whether you hold off, it has to be your own desire. Hold oneself off. That's what it means. Hold oneself off. If you don't, there is nothing anybody can do for you. Because you're going to ruin the name of Christ. If you present to the people in your life that Christ is someone that compromises, you think the people will like you? Sure, they will like you. Because you compromise, you make them happy. When our niece got married, she called herself a Christian. The family close to us. But she married a Roman Catholic. So we have to make a choice. And as parents, we have to guide our children to also make a choice. We know that if we just close our eyes and just go along, attend the wedding, attend the wedding lunch, they will be happy. Everybody will be happy. And if you are not there, people are going to ask questions. You're going to offend them. They're not going to be happy with you. They're going to be hurt by you. Most likely they might even call you names. You're going to offend. Can I say in my own heart? Well, if I attend the wedding inside the Roman Catholic Church, well, I'm not going to participate. I know my heart. I know who I am. I'm still worshiping Christ. I'm still obeying Christ. But I'm just there to help them, to let the family see that I am a very nice guy. It's okay. Should I do that? Would God be pleased with me? You see, this abstain from all appearance of evil, it's not from my perspective. It's not in me. It is abstain from every appearance of evil from the perspective of the other person. When they see what I'm doing, will they see Christ? Will they not see Christ? Will they see a false Christ? Or will they see the right Christ? That's what it means. And so I have no choice but to abstain. Can't attend the wedding. Cannot attend the dinner. Because what do you want me to say? Congratulations. She's a Christian. She had been counseled before she got married that this is not a relationship that God would be pleased with. When you do not abstain, you offend God. When you know that it has the appearance of evil. And in this case, it's not even the appearance of evil, it is evil itself. And so we have to tell our children, you can't even attend. You can't even attend the dinner or the lunch. Because that would mean that you approve of their relationship. You cannot approve of a relationship that brings shame to the name of Christ. For their sake, please understand this. For their sake, that so that they may realize and understand that what they have done is wrong. Especially the professing Christian, the niece. Abstinence is going to offend. And you cannot help it because either you offend man or you offend God. If you don't push off that which is wrong or evil, you embrace it, you offend God, and you bear the name of Christ. In other words, your life is a life of making decision. Either way, the moment you make a decision, you're going to offend. It's either God or man. You choose. Indecision is a decision, and therefore God says, those who are not for me, actively choosing to be with me on my side, you are against me. So indecision is against Christ. That's how serious it is. The only time when you are spared from this is when you are no longer alive. So as long as you're alive, you have to make a choice. Hold fast, hold off. Hold fast all that is good. Our problem is we hold fast that which is evil. That is our problem. You know it is wrong to drink. And you keep on drinking. You hold fast to drinking. You know that it will ruin you. It will tarnish your mind. You call yourself a Christian and you keep on drinking. You're holding fast to that which is not only appearance of evil, it is evil itself. And you think God is pleased? You hold fast to that which is evil, and you do not hold off that which is evil, and you hold off that which is good. You hold off that which is good. Elder Goh just mentioned, 10% comes from midweek prayer meeting. You know, prayer meeting for the saints in the church is your duty and responsibility, and you should be here. And you hold off that which is good, right? And that which is evil, you hold on. That's our problem. And that's the kind of Christianity that is so common today. Don't add to that list. Make a difference. While you may, for Christ's sake, and for the blessing and benefit of the people in your life. For those who are younger, they look up to you. For parents, they look up to you. You make decision. That decision either pleases God or pleases man. You ask yourself that question. Plain and simple. You can't please both. God made that abundantly clear because He is a jealous God in the very perfect and good sense. Because God says, I have only one church. I gave my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem that church. And when that church loves idols, when that church has some other person or thing that they consider as more important than God, you think God is going to sit down and do nothing? For all of us who are married, you love your spouse? How would you feel if your husband bring in another woman? Would you have a right sense of jealousy? Or you say, oh, it's okay, husband, it's okay. Would you say it's okay? So if your wife bring in another man into your home, you say it's okay too? How do you think God feels? God says, I enter into a covenant with you, which is similar to the marriage covenant, husband-wife relationship, a mystery that God uses this to describe Christ and His church. And then now you have something or someone more important than Christ, and you expect Christ not to feel anything? He loved us. And He continues to love us. And He loved us so much even before we first loved Him, by dying on the cross for us. Your sins and my sins caused Christ to go through extreme persecution and then crucifixion. And with all the power at His disposal, He did not release Himself. He allowed what you do to Him to bear it in His body. He did it because He loved us. The pain, the humiliation that He had to endure and to go through, naked on the cross and then to die on the cross, such a most painful and humiliating death. We all did that to Him. And then after He did all these things to us, God the Father says, you want to be saved, sinner? You go back to this Son of God, of mine. You did all these things to Him, and now you go to Him and you ask Him to be your Savior. You do that. But I did all these things to Him. Yes, you did all these things to Him, but I want you to go to Him and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. There's no other one who can do it. Only He could. And then you go to Him, and Jesus says, after you did all these things to me, you want me to forgive you? And Jesus says, in John 6, I come to do the Father's will. If it is the Father's will to call you to come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whomever the Father gives, I will receive. You did all these things to me, but Jesus says, never mind, it's okay. I will receive you. I will take you in. And I will save you from all your sins. And you do not need to end up in hell anymore. I have borne it all on the cross for your sake. You are now a holy one, a child of God. And I give you the honor and privilege to call yourself a Christian on one condition. Don't bring shame to the name of Christ that I have given you the privilege to bear. And I want you to bear it. And I will allow you to live on earth for how many more years, it's up to me. But during those years after your salvation to the time when I call you home, please bear the right image of Christ. Prove all things. What you see is good according to Holy Scriptures that will help you in your spiritual life. You hold fast. You don't ever, ever let go. No matter what. Even if your son tells you to, even if your wife tells you to, your husband tells you to, you hold on to that which is right, which is good. You don't let go. Even if they take your life, you hold on. They take your freedom, they take your job, you hold on. You don't let go. You trust me. And that which you know is evil, even if it has the appearance of evil, the semblance of evil. And you know what is a semblance of evil, right? That's why the article, Yishang Lohei, is mentioned. Because it has troubled me. When my brothers and sisters who are unbelievers, they practice this, and then they say those words in Chinese, I don't understand. I don't know what it means. And it troubled me. Should I or should I not participate? I have to search. I have to find out. Appearance of evil. We bear the name of Christ. Do you understand what that means? You are supposed to be the light on a hill where the people around you are walking in darkness, groping in absolute darkness. They need to see the light that you are shining off from the way that you live, from the way that you dress. Why do you think we wrote an article against cosplay? When the people look at you, you are a Christian. Why do you want to send a signal to your friends, whom you say your friends, you love them, and then you show them that this is Christ, cross-dressing? But I'm only pretending. There is no such thing as pretending when it comes to bearing the name of Christ. That is the problem with actors. They have one standard on set of morals in real life. They have another different standard of morals in acting life. And so if in acting, I'm just playing the role of a harlot, I'm only pretending to practice prostitution, pretending to commit fornication. You are not pretending. You cannot have two sets of morals. We are Christians. Privately, publicly, all the days of our life. You do not take off your garment of righteousness. God never gave us the permission. You cannot take off your garment of righteousness, which is purchased and redeemed for us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot take it off. And that's why that which is good, you hold fast. That which is evil, even with the semblance of evil, you push it away. You push it as far away as possible. You don't hold on to it. Let go of it. Would you? Let go of your drinking. Let go of your pornography. Let go of your gambling. Let go of your smoking. Let go. Would you? Clean cut, there is no other way. Because as long as you have a finger on it, holding on to it, it will continue to be a snare. And it will ruin your witness and your testimony for Christ. Does it mean so little to you that God gave us the honor and the privilege to bear the name of Christ? Because that's the bottom line. And you know very well that abstinence will offend. You don't mind offending people because of your practical bodily excuses and reasons and benefits. Now you don't mind abstaining when it comes to bodily health and function. But when it comes to spiritual, which is supposed to be more important, which involves eternity, that you and I have a lackadaisical attitude. That cannot be. That must never be. Temporal, we have a very clear, strong, unyielding stance. Hold on to that which is good for my health. Hold off that which is bad for my health. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, our eternal soul, why can't we have the same conviction? Why can't we have the same zeal and fervency and strength of determination? I must do that which is right at all costs for the sake of Christ that I bear to my children, to my family members, to my colleagues in the workplace. Social drinking. Go clubbing. All these, you know, they are wrong. Anything that has the semblance of evil, you stay away. You don't even be found in a compromising position. You want to give ladies a ride, a gentleman, let them sit behind. No kid. Especially if they are of the same age. I mean, if you are 19 years old and the person you're giving a ride is 90 years old, grandma, sit next to you, never mind. It's okay, people understand. But if you are 86, she's 90, you better get a seat behind. I mean, problem, right? You don't want people to ruin your testimony. You drive by 10:30. Wow, Reverend Greg, wow, sit, a woman sit next to him, you know. Where is he going? 10:30 at night, you know. And then the next person tells another person, wow, Reverend Greg's arm was on her, you know. See, I just sit next to him, no arm, nothing. But then you see the arm is added. And then when the third person tells it, wow, her shoulder on Reverend Greg's shoulder, you know. And by the time it gets to my wife, finish. That's why I sit behind. If she is not happy, then find another ride. Give her some money, take a cab. Plain and simple. Appearance of evil. You do not want to get yourself into trouble. You want to do counseling with a person, all by yourself, man and woman, make sure that your door has a big window, a big glass. You want to keep the conversation confidential? Fine. Let there be a big glass that people can walk through and see. No monkey business. If you do not have, then you go to a public place. Counseling, never go out one-to-one with another lady. If it's a lady that I'm counseling, my wife must come. If my wife cannot make it, change the appointment, find another date. Appearance of evil. For the sake of Christ, you do not allow anyone to look at your life and be stumbled. It's not from my perspective, it's from the perspective of others. How will they see me if I do this? Will it bring shame to the name of my Savior? If it does, I cannot do it. The risk is too high. The name of Christ that I bear cannot be tarnished. Not at any cost. That's what it means. Please, Christians, think very carefully. Practice biblical abstinence. It will offend. And the scope is all appearance, not some, all. As long as it has the appearance, the semblance of evil, you refrain. And the definition is the Bible. The Bible is the key. And the price is the souls of men and women who need to see Christ in your life. And the days where you can serve are numbered. How many parents drink? You're going to find your children also drink. Because when you drink, you have lost the moral authority to tell them not to drink. And when they get drunk, and they met with an accident, and they kill someone, or they maim themselves and they become a paraplegic, what are you going to say? You're going to regret, you're going to cry, or you're going to keep on drinking? You're going to keep on drinking? Or you're going to stop? Or you're never going to stop, no matter what? I can control. It's not a matter you can control your drink. It's a matter of whether by your drinking will others see a tarnished Christ that you say you bear. It is better not to say you are a Christian if you want to do that. Isn't it true? If you're going to bring shame to the name of Christ, then better not to call yourself a Christian. Is it not true? Hold on to that which is good. Automatically means you must hold off yourself that which is evil. In this case, the appearance of evil. Because the moment the first motion of evil begins in our hearts, it's already done. It's already gone. Because God knows that as long as we are in this earthen vessel, we are still easily tempted by sin. As long as this body of the flesh remains on this earth, this body of the flesh depends on the things of this earth for survival. And therefore, Satan and Satan's followers will continue to use the things of this earth to entice us. And that's why the appearance of evil is mentioned here for our own good. It may not even be evil itself, but as long as it has the semblance of evil, we have to stay off. We have no choice. You must. You will offend, you are right. You know you're not supposed to eat food offered to idols. And the Bible's teaching is this. When you go to somebody's house, and this person is a VIP in that illustration in 1 Corinthians. And then you have young believers accompanying you. And then before the meal started, you have been told that this food has been offered to idols. Now you sat in front of the table, your other Christians, younger Christians are with you. And then the VIP host is there. He spends so much time preparing the meal, and a very important person. Now that you have been told, the Bible instruction is very clear. You have to tell the host, I'm sorry, I cannot eat this food. And he will be stunned, he will be shocked, because it will be an insult. Because the highest honor in those days is to invite somebody to your house and to eat at your table. That's the highest offer that you could ever ascribe to a stranger who is not your family member. And here this VIP give you the highest honor that he could ever give to you by inviting you to his home to eat at his table as part of family. And then now you tell him, I can't eat your food. And he will ask you why. Now what are you going to say? I got stomachache. Stomachache? Or do you have the courage? Because the young believers are watching. They are listening to you. They are watching. What is this pastor, this elder, what is this person going to do now? Because either way you're going to offend. Either you offend the believers, their faith will be stumbled, or you're going to offend this VIP non-believer. You have to offend. And the Bible's teaching is, you have to tell him, I'm sorry, I cannot eat this food because it has been offered to your gods, idols. That is the clear teaching from my God, the Bible. I'm sorry, I cannot. He will be offended, and you are right, he will be offended. But the faith of the other believers, they will be strengthened. He is prepared to hold on to his obedience to Christ, even if he has to obey or disobey or offend this man. And he did it. We need, God's church need this kind of Christians. Your loved ones, your home need this kind of Christians. And it must begin with the man. If you are a Christian, you set the standard, or the lack of it. What is the standard you are setting, men, as Christians, in your own home, regarding drinking, gambling, smoking? These are the three ills of our society. Don't talk about fornication and pornography. All this you know is wrong. You know it's wrong. If your son or daughter say, I want to go out on a holiday with my friend, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, would you say yes or no? You have to say no. You have to put your foot down. You have to stand your ground. But the child will be hurt. Yes, the child will be hurt. And you cannot lose your moral authority, because once you have lost it, even if you say it, it will not be respected. And that's why it is so important as the head of the home to set the standard that God has given to us in Holy Scriptures, and that is to hold fast which is good, be found in God's house, in the morning, in the evening. If your church does not have sunset, fine. No evening service, fine. But this is your church. It is held, it is organized for your blessing and benefit. Same for the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Same for many of the Bible studies, many of the activities, the church camp, the retreats. All these are for you to evaluate and test whether they are good. If they are, you hold fast. And you encourage your children by participating yourself. Fine. If you say that they are bad, they are no good, you want to hold off, please tell us in what way that it is no good. We will change. We will improve. You tell us. But don't just hold them off because you just don't want to. By not wanting to, you have really made a decision. And that decision is to hold on, hold fast to that which is evil. And hold off that which is good. For your spiritual soul and spiritual well-being. Don't make excuses. Excuses are easy. Jesus has already taught us and told us, so many in his days make excuses. They don't want to follow Christ. They don't want to obey him. Oh, I just got married, and so therefore I have to be with my wife. Oh, I just bought a piece of land. I now must go and inspect the land. Lame excuses. You know that. Because you are a Christian, you know that no excuse on this earth can ever justify us bringing shame to the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we bear. That's the bottom line. These are guidelines for us to be watchful and to be sober, because we are children of light. You don't do these things to become children of light. You do these things as a reflection that I am a child of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why I will always abstain, by the grace and the mercies and the enabling of God, abstain from all appearance of evil. And if I have to offend my friends, my family, my loved ones in the process, so be it. So be it. If any of our children were to marry an unbeliever or Roman Catholic or anyone of other faith, they know full well how my wife and I will act. You can forget it. We are not going to attend any part of your wedding. No ROM, forget it. No dinner, nothing. You will not find us there. You think we don't love our children? You think any parent would love to do that? It's because we love them. We have to do it. Because of Christ. Abstinence will result in offending. Offending God or offending man. Your choice. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, teach us, O Lord, to make the right decision. As we learn daily to prove all things, may we never forget to know how to make the right decision, to see that which is good, and we are to keep on holding fast to that which is good, and to hold off all that which is evil, even all that has the semblance of evil. May this be our heart's cry and heart's desire, especially all of us who name the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times when we have failed Thee. We have allowed the fear of man, the desire to please man, to cause us to stumble and to bring shame to the name of our Savior. Teach us, O Lord, from henceforth to only hold fast to that which is good and to hold off that which has the appearance of evil. For this we ask with thanksgiving and always for Thy glory, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.